command, the Ten Commandments. He affirms them, and they stand for all time, for us today. Do not worship other gods. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet what other people have. And Jesus, as you know, expanded on those commandments throughout his ministry. It's clear, isn't it? But the question then arises, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, I think we need to go back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 2. We read this, God rested on the Sabbath day from all his work. God blessed it and sanctified it. And this is, I think, what we need to hear and learn today. If God rested on the seventh day, why do so many folk rebel and choose to disobey the godly example? If God rested on the seventh day, what makes us think that we don't need to? I think it's a very important question we need to address. If God rested on the seventh day, why do we think that we don't need to? And what does it mean to keep it holy? Well, to keep the Sabbath day holy is for us to set that day apart for the Lord. That is what holiness means, set apart for God. God is holy. He's set apart. In one sense, it means keeping Sunday special, to set that time apart for God, to be with him. It means that whatever we're doing, we are to keep that seventh day separate and apart for God. And it's quite a challenge, I think, to Christians, certainly in the West today, to do just that, to keep that seventh day special for God. I know that many folk today, because of the work situation, have to work on Sundays. Where that is the case, I think it's just as equally important for them to rest one day every 7 days so that they don't actually break the rhythm that God's given us. People say, what about industry? All that work not being done? Well, let me give you a practical example. When I was at work, managing director of a company in Amersham, my chairman said, we need more profit. I want you to make everybody work 7 days a week. I said, no, I'm not going to. I'm a Christian. I don't believe in that. He said, I'm ordering you. Make them work 7 days a week. So I agreed. I said, on one condition, we measure the extra work and profit that we make by working 7 days. If it's less than 5 days, then we scrap the idea. Oh, he said, you're on a loser there. We worked 7 days. The seventh day output was less than the 5 days output. The costs was about 25 cents more because of paying double time and overtime and everything else. I thought, thank you, Lord. So that it knocked that on the head straight away. The Lord won the battle. But legalism and judgment, I think, are very real issues for us today. I think it's important that we don't enter into judgment on others because of a so-called legal situation. In fact, in the Bible, we're called not to be legalistic, not to be judgmental. And Jesus reminds us, and this will help us do that, to remain humble. You know, when Jesus gave that example, unless you're humble like one of these little children, you won't enter the kingdom of God. We need to retain that humility that should be us in us as Christian men and women. We are not to enter into judgment on other Christians. It's so easy for us to do that, isn't it? Dennis mentioned it last week, I think. You recall, though, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, 38, John, the Gospel writer, complained to Jesus that the man was casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Do you remember his reply? Jesus said, don't stop him. Whoever is not against us is with us. And again, on the question of judgment, Colossians 2, 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The passage then goes on about freedom from human rules. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. With regard to religious festival, a new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day, these are the shadow of the things that were to come. The reality of it is found in Christ. Keep the Sabbath day holy. When I was at Sutton Hoo, I prayed with a lady in the village about alcohol. She had quite a serious problem. And the Lord did a miracle and set her free. So she made a commitment to give her life to Jesus. And in addition to that, to come to church regularly Sunday by Sunday. She arrived on that first Sunday wearing jeans. There was an outcry. The church wardens demanded an emergency meeting. This is deadly serious. Now I refused their demand and asked them the question, would God heal this lady on the Sabbath? And would he stop her coming to church to worship him? And that was the end of the argument. 1 year later, she was elected to be a church warden. Would you believe? God works in mysterious ways. But again, it just underlines this point of how easily we can actually put religious rules on how we get on in our churches. How easy it is to make up churchy laws as we go along. We need to be careful that we don't fall into that particular trap of deciding who can come into the church and who can't. In Aylesbury, a man came in straight from work wearing his overalls. In that church, the wardens took him out and told him he couldn't come in because he's wearing overalls. We can laugh about it. Do you know the sad thing? We never ever saw him again. We need to be so careful how we behave as Christians here in church life. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep it set apart for God. Do not be like the Pharisees entering into judgment on other people, what they say and do. Jesus warned us, if we're harsh in judging others, we're going to be judged by that same harshness. It's quite a threat, isn't it? Or you could say it's a promise, whichever you want to look at it. Keeping one day special each week is also good news, I think, for all who are in a family situation. Families where either husband or wife works 7 days a week are really, rarely happy homes. One day a week set apart and spent for God, I think, is the minimum. It's the rhythm of life that God, I think, started right from that beginning in the book of Genesis. On the seventh day he rested. Prevent us, Lord, from falling into the trap of thinking that we don't need to. We're strong, we're fit, we're busy, we don't need to do that. Of course we do. It's the rhythm of life that God has ordained and sanctified. We need to be obedient to God. And as we do that, I think we bring blessing and healing to others' lives. But as we think about these things, several questions come to mind when I was thinking about this. I think we have to ask myself as well as yourselves, do we have a judgmental spirit affecting our fellow Christians, affecting family and friends? If we have, we really need to get prayer for it. Not sometime in the future, but today. Do you find keeping Sunday special a hard task? If you do, get someone to pray with you about it. Does legalism enter into your decisions about church life and about Sunday? And finally, the other one, which I've heard mentioned in many places, are you in a position where you doubt the miracles of Jesus? I think this is fundamental. I really struggle with people who say, well, I can't understand the miracles. It seems too amazing. It couldn't possibly happen. And I usually go back to the same question. Do you believe God made the world? You say, yes, of course. Compare that to healing. We need to be very serious, I think, in our walk with the Lord. We need to be careful to listen to his voice, to walk with him, to obey his commandments, and also be aware of how awesome God is. That he does want to bring healing and wholeness to our lives. We do not be like the Pharisees and scribes. Do you remember the woman caught in adultery? They wanted to stone her to death. What did Jesus say? Go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her. We need to be very careful, I think. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, his example, his words. This morning in the prayer room before the meeting, God gave me that word from the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's the place we need to be walking, I think, where God can bless us when we're pure in heart. If God has spoken to you about any of these things today, do get prayer for it today. There's loads of people who will pray for you and with you. Let's close in prayer now. Heavenly Father, help us to hear your voice speaking to each one of us this morning. Lord, we pray that you prevent us from entering into judgment on others. And if we do, Lord, help us to be quick to come to that place of repentance and forgiveness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen.